Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. There's comedy on the reels in this hour, later on the Jack Kirkwood Show from 1953, but first the Fred Allen Program, otherwise known as the Texaco Star Theater. This episode heard on CBS on April 4th, 1943.
And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Jimmy, that extra coffee people are going to get this year will sure be a boon to radio.
How do you mean, Fred?
Why, with more coffee, people will be able to stay awake during those Jack Benny programs now.
Do people really doze off listening to Jack?
Doze off? Why, Maisie doze and Dozy doze, everybody. Doze off, Jimmy. They say that sheep with insomnia count little bennies, Jimmy. Barnyard connoisseurs have told me off the record that. But with this extra coffee, I hear they're inventing a new radio just to listen to the Benny program. It's a combination radio and percolator, Jimmy. It perks except when the program is on. Now, if you really want to get
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland, Jesus. Well, Portland, what's new tonight?
Nothing, except what's in the papers.
Well, I've been reading the papers, too. I read mostly from right to left.
The paper said that peroxide is scarce and blondes are disappearing.
Oh, yes. A blonde can establish a bleachhead, but without peroxide, she can't hold it. You have to have it. Well, Portland, we'd better, before we find out just how much they will stand for, Right here, laughing at something we hope to have next week, are you? Portland, we had better run for Allen's Alley.
Have you a question for tonight? Oh,
our question tonight is, how did the fish shortage bother you?
Shall we go?
As the piece of string said to the finger, why not? I should have brought my chair with me. Portland, here we are back in Allen's Alley. I'll see if Senator Bloat is here.
Yes.
Senator Bloat, what about the fish problem?
If my bill, the Bloat bill, goes through,
yes,
this country will never have another fish shortage.
Well, what does your bill advocate?
Every person who's doing nothing to help the war effort will be given a fishing line and some bait.
Yes.
The fishing lines will be thrown into the water.
When every person who is doing nothing to help the war effort has his line in the water...
With all these jerks, we'll soon have enough fish to feed America. I think so.
Well, I think the Senate... was hardly worth the trouble, was it, Senator? From telling those kind of jokes, the Senator's starting to get whiskers on himself there. Well, I think the Senator has something there, and I hope he returns to clean it up. Now, let's see how... Let's see how Mrs. Prawn is doing.
Well, what is it?
Mrs. Prawn, is anyone alive on this program? I would like to... We might be the annex to the Smithsonian Institute for our come to life here. Mrs. Prawn, did the fish shortage bother you?
No. Every day I sent my husband over to the aquarium.
I see.
In no time, he was back with a mess of fish.
Say, that was a good idea.
Yes. Anytime you want fish, send a worm.
Well, we take leave of Mrs. Prawn and see who's in next door here.
No.
Ah, Mr. Nussbaum, how do you feel about this fish business?
Oh, fish I am eating morning, noon, and night. White fish, blue fish, red fish.
What red fish?
Salmon is purple, maybe. Also, I'm eating flambeau, skipper, sardines.
In other words, you were crazy about fish.
Oh-ho. Yes.
Ship-oh-ho, I should take it.
Besides eating, also I'm keeping in a goldfish bowl a sturgeon. Irving by name.
Irving? Irving was your pet sturgeon?
My little finny pal.
You liked Irving, huh?
Oh, when I'm coming home, Irving is leaping in the golfing ball for joy.
Really?
With the fins he's waving on me.
Gosh.
The caviar Irving is spelling out, oh, Lord, my body.
You were inseparable.
Until is coming the fish shortage.
Well, what happened?
Suddenly, there's no fish. For 2 weeks, I'm not eating fish. I'm going shark raving mad.
You were fish famished, eh?
Every night I'm coming home, I'm looking on Irving.
Your sturgeon was still glad to see you?
With caviar, Irving is still spelling out, hello, my body.
And then?
One night, Irving was gone. The goldfish bowl was empty.
Mr. Nussbaum, you mean?
With cream cheese, Irving was delicious, didn't you?
That brings us to the little weed-covered cottage at the end of the alley.
Bonsoir all, s'il vous plaît. Falstaff's here with Rondelet.
You haven't more poems tonight.
Indubitably. Have you heard, he was just a little pigeon, and yet he had religion?
No.
Or, when his antlers caught in the chandelier, the big buck deer said, Weyersmeer.
No.
The stalk had come. The doctor used penicillin. 2 minutes later, the baby was whistling.
Falstaff, you have upset everything. Tonight, we have been mulling over the fish shortage.
Precisely why I am here. I have spawned a scansion.
You have? What is your poem called?
The whale called a meeting.
Well, how does it go?
The big bull whale said a meeting, I decree, and he blew a spout that shook the sea. The fish came in schools. The porpoise and seals chiked on eels. The minnows scurried. The haddock and sturgeon joined the tuna and cod who needed no urging. When all were assembled, from jellyfish to trout, the whale said, here's what this meeting's about. Fish can't fight Hitler with guns or with powder, but we can give our lives for fish dinners and chowder. Fish are like soldiers. For news we all pine. So to keep us both happy, please, drop us a line.
Well, thank you, Falstaff. And as Falstaff leaves for the Fulton Fish Market to get another inspiration, Maestro Al Goodman rises to welcome Hilo, Jack, and the Dame. The kids sing Mares y Dotes.
Nutty as a fruitcake, goofy as a goon, and silly as a loon. Some call it pretty, others call it crazy, but they all sing this tune. Mersey dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too, wouldn't you? Yes, mersey dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too, wouldn't you? If the words sound queer and funny to your ear, a little bit jumbled and jabby, sing mares eat oats and does eat oats and little lambs eat divey. Oh, mares eat oats and does eat oats and little lambs eat divey, a kiddly divey too, wouldn't you? Ooh, a kiddly divey too, wouldn't you? It's a kind of a game with words like nothing you ever heard. If you run them together, it won't matter whether they rhyme. If you keep in time, Ramsey Pie and Lamsey Pie
and Little
Puppy Tappy, a puppily tappy too, wouldn't you? And snails he deals and whales he deals
and little
sharks he dices, a scrawly oyster too. But not if it's in a stew. A pummely tappy, a yappily dither, a piggly tannily too, wouldn't you? Me too.
That was just a dash of Take It Easy, played by Al Goodman, And 25 men whose salaries can't be frozen, they work for salt. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
La-da-da-dee! La-da-da-dee!
Portland, wait. What is that la-da-da-deeing? You sound like a Neil Wind blowing through Lower Basin Street.
Skater's Waltz.
Oh.
Mama and I saw Sonia Henie yesterday.
Oh, does your mother like skating?
I'll say. Mama can do a figure eight.
Your mother doesn't have to do a figure eight. She has one. Your mother looks like a duffel bag that came to life. Your mother on ice...
Mama said you should be very good on ice, too.
Why?
Mama says there are so many cheapskates in your family.
Now, look, Portland, I'm tired tonight. I have had a lot of trouble this past
week. Trouble?
Yes, there's a housing shortage, you know. The other night, a strange man knocked at my door, said he'd been walking all over New York trying to find a room. He couldn't find a place to sleep. It was a cold night, so I gave him a drink and let him sleep on my sofa. The next morning, when I got up, the stranger was gone, and he'd left $3 on the table for room rent.
You didn't know the man?
I didn't know the man at all. I felt terrible accepting money for a favor. I looked for the fellow all day to give him his $3 back, and that night I was depressed. Well, I decided to call on the only man who can cheer me up when I'm depressed, so I went over to that nightclub, the Copacabana. I knocked on this gentleman's dressing room door.
Well, if it ain't my old pal.
Jimmy Durante. Well... Say, this is a pretty dressing room you have here, Jimmy.
Yeah, I had an inferior decorator do the job. The same guy who did Lindy's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Instead of having roses on the wallpaper, he's got meatballs.
It's a pretty shade.
Yeah, it's a gravy pastel.
Gravy.
I was just taking a gander at my fan mail, Fred.
Oh, your fan mail? What is that postcard?
It's a vitamin ad. I'm through with vitamins.
Well, why?
I seen an ad. A certain vitamin capsule will grow hair. That's what it said.
Uh-huh.
I tried them for 2 months. I am as bald as any part of a grapefruit.
You took these capsules every day?
I was putting them on top of my head.
Well, you're supposed to take them, Jimmy.
Now he tells me.
Say, Jimmy, I saw your picture on the cover of Time this week.
Yeah, they wanted to put my picture on the Reader's Digest. I turned them down.
Why?
People would think Durante was a midget.
Say, what is that, that stack of paper you have there, Jimmy?
These are some jokes my writers left me. Get this one. My girl never wears liquid stockings because she can't get her leg in the bottle. It's no good, Fred.
Well, why not, Jimmy?
My girl can. You know, my girl's got legs like a pipe cleaner.
That thin?
That fuzzy.
Hey, what is that other slip? Another joke you have there?
Yeah, this one is a Lulu. Wait till you hear it.
Uh-huh.
They're making a new picture of the life of Abraham Lincoln. It's called Massey Come Home.
Massey Come Home, eh?
What's the matter, Fred? You ain't laughing. You're letting Durante down.
Well, I'm worried, Jimmy.
Listen, if you're worried about the future, Fred, I know a gypsy who's open all night.
No, Jimmy, I'm not. I just have a little problem. You see, the other night I let a stranger sleep in my place. It was cold. I gave him a drink. The next morning I get up, the fellow was gone. He left $3 on the table, and I sort of feel guilty keeping the $3. I've looked around. I can't find the guy.
Stop worrying, will you, Fred? There's only one thing to do with that $3.
What?
Buy war bonds with it. There's a friend of mine down at the Federal Building, Mr. Umbriago. Huh? Umbriago sells war bonds.
Well, maybe that's what I'll do.
The show start, Mr. Durante. You're on.
I got to do my number, Fred. I'll leave the door open so you can hear it in here.
Okay, Jimmy.
Thank you, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to dedicate this number to that whack who blew me a kiss in the lobby of the Martha Washington Hotel last night. Let's go, Professor. Now, once upon a time, they sang the Bodeo Doe. but that was long ago. Then everybody started in to boop boop a doop. They got tired of that, you know. I'll give you $50, you show me bloop bloop in the music. Show me bloop bloop in the music. Too bad I can't read. But the tune for you and me. Very unnecessary. Is that swingy symphony they call it? I didn't get it. I didn't get it. Let me hear that band. What a band. Let me hear it again. You know, I was walking down Fifth Avenue, and I happened to stop into a fruiterer. I bought two apples. And you know, the clerk thought he knew a hick when he saw one. He said those apples will cost you $2 a piece. So I gave him a $5 bill. As he was about to give me my dollar change, I said, keep it, we're even. I stepped in the grape, coming in. Let me hear that band. Holla. What a band that Goodman has got. Let me hear it. Let me hear it. You know, last night I walked into the automat, and I put a lead nickel in the slot. And what do you think came out? The manager. Let me hear it, boys.
Well, Portland, when Jimmy finished his song at the Copacabana, we made an appointment to meet the next day and buy wash stamps with my $3. Well, I got to the federal building first. I was waiting in the lobby when Jimmy rushed in.
Sorry I'm late, Fred. There was a pickpocket with no arms in the subway. He got his head caught in my pocket.
Put the bite on you, huh? Well, all right, Jimmy. All right, Jimmy. Let's get my stamps. This window here says War Savings Stamp.
I'll see if Umbriago is behind the window. Hello, in there.
Anything I can do for you, gentlemen?
Yes, I'd like to buy $3 worth of...
Wait a minute. This guy ain't Umbriago.
Well, what's the difference, Jimmy?
I promised Umbriago, Fred. He's got to make his quota. Besides, if you're a friend of mine, Umbriago will lick the stamps for you.
Well, my delicatessen licks war stamps for me, Jimmy. They keep a wet tongue on the counter.
Gentlemen, will you hurry and buy your stamps? I've got to get back to my book.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm halfway up A Tree Grows in Brooklyn.
Oh.
I can stop.
Just a minute, copperhead. Do you realize the gesture my friend is making?
Now, Jimmy, don't bother.
This man rented a room to a stranger for $3. Did he take this money and squander it on wine, women, and jute boxes? No. He's here to put it where every penny should go. Into war bonds and stamps.
Now, please, Jimmy, quiet. I'll get my... Just get my stamps. $3 worth, mister.
Before I tear them off, one thing.
Yes?
Did this gentleman say you rented a room?
Well, I didn't exactly rent the room.
No, the guy knocked on Mr. Allen's door.
Yeah.
I see. Will you both step into this next office, please? Mr. Brownlee.
Yes. What is it, Heselrigh?
Two suspects.
Suspects? What is this?
Mr. Brownlee is in charge of the OPA office on rent ceilings.
Rent ceilings?
Quiet, you. What's the charge, Heselrigh?
The big one rented a room for $3. He was going to buy war stamps with the money. Then the little one with a cucumber nose started shooting off his bazoo.
That's a lie. I deny the allegation and I defy the alligator. If Umbriago was here, I'd serve the two of yous with replevance.
Now, Jimmy.
I know what
Jimmy,
I'm talking about, Fred.
Don't lose your head.
I could lose my head and still have more brains than both of these two guys.
Quiet, you. Now, you, the big one. How long have you been operating your rooming house?
What rooming house, Jimmy? Tell this bird.
Mr. Allen ain't got no rooming house. He ain't posing as no bunny face.
No.
No bunny face? There's a housing shortage. Mr. Allen gave this poor homeless wafer a bed for the night. The wafer left them $3.
Mr. Allen, how much were you renting that room for on April 15th, 1943, when Wentz proposed?
Well, nothing.
Uh-huh. Today you rent it for $3. $3 over the ceiling price. A flagrant violation of the OPA laws.
A flagrant violation? Jimmy, call my lawyer, Solinger and Solinger.
Who needs Solinger and Solinger, Fred? When Umbriago gets here, he'll heave this bum out on the street. A flagrant violation, he says. I'm laughing heartily.
Now, look, Mr. Brownlee.
Don't talk to me, you dirty wartime profiteer. You made $3 profit on that room.
How could he make $3, swollen belly? It was a cold night. Alan gave the guy a drink of liquor. With the price of liquor what it is today, Alan must have lost money.
Liquor, huh? You have a license to sell liquor?
Well, no.
This isn't a case for the OPA. This is a case for the alcohol squad.
The alcohol squad?
You heard me. Follow me.
Oh, Jimmy, if you hadn't mentioned that drink...
Quit worrying, will you, Fred? Umbriago will have these guys on the street with their portfolios dragging.
Through this door, you two. Mr. Ippolito.
Yes, Mr. Brownlee.
A speakeasy case. I suggest you grill these characters.
Now, you, where is this speakeasy located?
Well, I don't run a speakeasy. It was a cold night. I gave this stranger a drink.
Oh, well, if you didn't charge him for the drink.
Well, no.
No, the guy left $3.
Jimmy.
Oh, so you did take money for the liquor, huh? Did you enter this money as income?
Well, no.
Listen, Bud, listen. I can explain the whole thing.
You keep your nose out of this.
All of it?
Yes, all of it. And stop inhaling over my desk. You're sucking up my memos.
Now, listen, I didn't sell the liquor.
Look, Pinhead, this stranger knocked on Alan's door.
A stranger? You rented a room to a total stranger? You didn't get his name, his address? You didn't ask to see his draft card?
Well, no.
I've heard enough. Follow me.
This is all your fault, Jimmy Durante. I came in here to buy a wash stamp. Now I'm getting pasted around.
When Umbriago gets here and sees what's going on, he'll have this jerk down on his knees begging for mercy.
Right in this door.
Now, Jimmy, the letters on that door. Do you see what I see?
FBI. Who do we know with those initials?
Inside, please. Inspector Toogan?
Yes, Ippolito.
I think these two mugs, Alan and Durante, are mixed up in case 64.
Oh, Inspector, there's been a mistake.
Alan, the FBI isn't interested in you small-time crooks. We're after bigger game. Now, describe this stranger who spent the night in your place.
Well, he was around about medium height.
Did he wear a green turtleneck sweater and carry a black patent leather briefcase?
Yes, sir. He wore yellow bicycle clips and carried a neon cane.
Alan, that man is wanted.
What man?
Sabotage Sam.
Sabotage Sam?
The FBI has been trailing this criminal for weeks. You let this nefarious gangster hide out on your premises.
Inspector, believe me.
Fred, let me handle this.
Jimmy, call my lawyer, Solinger and Solinger.
This is a case for Umbriago, Fred. Why, when Umbriago hears about this, J. Edgar will personally beat this guy's brains out.
The FBI never forgets a face, Alan. Get under that light.
Now, the FBI doesn't know me.
Oh, no? You won't talk your way out of this rap, Fingers McGonagall.
Fingers McGonagall.
I knew there was something familiar about you. Those long thumbs, those sweeping hangnails.
Now, this is ridiculous. Jimmy, explain who I am. Tell him.
Tell him what, Fingers?
Fingers? Jimmy, you have known me for 20 years, and you take this guy's word?
Fred, he's got an honest face.
Inspector, believe me, I am not Fingers McGonagall. I'm Fred Allen. I just came in here to buy some war stamps.
Inspector, you got to give Allen the benefit of the doubt.
There is no doubt.
Then there is no benefit.
Come clean, Fingers. Where's Sabotage Sam? Where's your gun mall, Jersey Jenny? Where's your brother, Flat Top?
Now, wait a minute. I don't know these people. A strange guy came to my apartment.
Now, look, turn state's evidence, Fingers, and I'll get you off with 40 years. If you don't, it's Alcatraz.
Wait a minute, Inspector. You can't do that, my friend.
Yes, I can.
Okay, you talked me out of it.
Now, Jimmy, explain to him. He won't believe me. Tell him a stranger just knocked on my door.
I got to laugh. This is funny. When I think what Umbriago is going to do to this joint, I shudder. Umbriago is your only hope, friend.
Now, Fingers, perhaps if you see a picture of Sabotage Sam, if you're brought face to face with this low, despicable saboteur, maybe your tongue will loosen. Look, over on that wall, that picture under wanted. Do you recognize your buddy?
Now, believe me, Inspector, I never saw this man before in my life. I'm innocent.
Well, I'll be seeing you when you get out, Fred.
Jimmy,
Where are you going?
I gotta beat it, Fred.
Why?
That picture on the wall. That guy's who's wanted.
You recognize him?
It's Umbriago. So long, Fred.
Oh, Jimmy.
The Texaco Star Theater or Fred Allen Show on Tuned to Yesterday from the 4th of April, 1943 on CBS. You are listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for a comedian who first began on radio in a dramatic role on the Thrills of the Highway Patrol program in 1938, and in that same year was a guest comedian on the Town Hall Tonight program with none other than Fred Allen. It's Jack Kirkwood in his own program from May 4th, 1953 on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
From Hollywood, the Mutual Broadcasting System presents transcribed the Jack Kirkwood Show with Lillian Lee, Steve Dunn, Lee Albert, George Wright at the organ, Sad Sam the Sawman, and their regular cast of characters. And boy, what characters they are.
Nobody gonna sleep while this show's on.
Program is partially recorded. It will be heard in Canada by shortwave in Alaska and the Hawaiian Islands by our armed forces in all theaters of operation and from coast to coast in the USA. It's the Jack Kirkwood Show.
Hey, you.
Are you listening?
Ladies and gentlemen, you've all heard of men who are real executives. Well, here's the man who makes our executives real, Jack Kirkwood.
Thank you, Steve Dunn. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? And thanks again, Steve, for that lead-plated introduction. I'm in no mood to fight with you today. Believe me, I'm sore. I was just vaccinated, and I'm very tender.
Is that a fact? Where were you vaccinated?
Right between Crenshaw and Pico. We had quite a time, though, because of my work. You see, I asked the doctor to vaccinate me where it wouldn't show.
Oh, I suppose he gave it to you under the arm.
Yes, no. Gave it to me in a spoon. Lillian Lee, how are you?
Say, Jack, you are looking a little tired today.
Today?
Were you out late?
Out late, yes. I was out till all hours last night. It was a party at Steve's house.
Oh, that must have been some party.
Oh, yeah, it was a nice Irish party. Not too many people got hurt.
Hello, Mr. K.
Hello, Lee. What's new with you?
Well, have you heard the story of the man carrying beer in a paper bag?
No, I haven't.
Well, I guess it hasn't leaked out yet.
Maybe not. Go away. At least you get some new jokes anyhow.
You know, Jack, I'm amazed at your diction.
Me too.
The way you handle words is amazing.
Yeah, with no teeth. Yes, it is, Lil. When you come to think of it, it's hard to believe now. I'm going to sue that dentist. But when I was a boy, I stuttered.
Oh, really? Did you stutter all the time?
No, just when I talked. Dandy. But I managed to cure myself, Bo.
How'd you do it, Jack?
I did it by putting rocks in my mouth. You know, later I picked up a little money working as a rock crusher, but I thought it was a pretty... I gave it to you. I thought it was a pretty low calling.
Low, Kirkwood?
Low calling. How's Mrs. Calling?
She's a card.
Oh, call it card.
Yeah.
Lovely woman. She's from San Bernardino, isn't she?
No, Pomona.
Pomona?
Pomona.
Born on high, 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 I'm gonna give you candy.
And so we prepared to take our departure from the bewitching little village of sprawling on the Axminster with its hardy walrus hunters and its fur trappers. We load our bundles of skins upon our waiting monsters, which we bought at a monster sale. We are suddenly terror-stricken by the mournful yelping of the Yukonian or Americansis muleyansis, which we quickly lasso and find to our dismay that Steve Dunn singing the native's plaintive chant.
You know, weekends are something special in every family's life. And Mutual brings something special in weekend listening pleasure for everyone in the family. Motion picture fans will love Movie Quiz, the program with Johnny Olsen as MC and top name film stars participating. True or False has Eddie Dunn taking over the role of schoolteacher as he poses the questions with the simple answers either true or false. And there are still the programs that you've voted your top favorites for years. Down You Go brings you the gay and sparkling wit of a fast-paced quiz. A brief news commentary keeps you up to date. and 20 questions comes your way with its time-tested half hour of animal, vegetable, or mineral fun. You can hear one of the most popular weekday quiz shows on weekends, too, when Take a Number adds to your enjoyment with a game that's packed with pleasure and prizes. And the Chicago Theater of the Air is justly famous for its full-hour interpretations of the best-loved works of opera and operetta. So stay tuned to Mutual for special party time listening presented for end-of-the-week enjoyment every weekend over most of these stations.
Now, let's all give a listen to what's happening at the Madhouse News.
The Madhouse News on the air with a big story on married life. And here's your news commentator, Phineas. I'll never smile again. Deadline. Shoot the sermon to me, Vermin.
Howdy, folks. I'll be back in a scat with a spat.
Chino, Nevada. News listens in on divorce proceedings.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I stuttered, too. I can believe, folks, hearing about the big ruckus that was stirred up in the little town of Chino, Nevada, we sent our star reporter up there just to find out just what was going on. According to the story he sent in, it all started in the judge's court. That was Judge Fiddly Lint. Where Mr. and Mrs. J. Kirkwood were suing each other for divorce. This judge was a real character. He used to be on TV with MT. He forgot his lines most of the time. Take it away, Alphonse.
Now, Mrs. Kirkwood, suppose you tell the court just what happened.
Well, Judge, that beast had promised to take our son, Junior, and myself on a trip. I was just packing when all of a sudden... Junior, come in here.
Yes, Mama.
How many times do I have to tell you that you can't take your slingshot on this trip?
But, Mama, what if I see another screaming demon like the one that was looking in my window last night?
Screaming demon? That must have been your mother's mother.
Yes.
When you came in this morning, you told me that you and Steve Dunn spent last evening down at the Grand Hotel.
Yeah.
But Steve's wife called this morning and said that Steve had told her you two were at the Trocadero. Why did you lie to me?
When I came in this morning, I couldn't say Trocadero.
Jack Kirk, but I was a fool when I married you.
Haven't changed a bit, have you?
You hateful brute. I'm going home to Mother.
Well, it's too late. Your old man just called and said your mother had gone home to her mother.
Well, I don't care. I'm going home anyway.
Oh, now, Lil, please. Please, don't go home to your mother.
Oh, do you really want me to stay, Jack?
No, but if you go over there, then it'll be her turn to come over here.
Oh, you're always starting fights.
Me? Why, you started the fight right at the altar. When I said, I do, you had a shout, although you don't.
Oh, Jack, why can't we be happily married like my brother and his wife? They're inseparable.
You ain't kidding. The last argument they had, it took six people to drag them apart.
Oh, let's quit arguing and get packed for this trip.
All right. Junior!
Yes, Papa?
Junior, help your mother get ready.
What shall I do, Mama?
Well, first take the tablecloth off the dining room table, fold it up, and put it away.
Okay, Mama.
Hey. Junior, you're supposed to remove the dishes before you fold the cloth.
Now he tells me.
Oh, Junior, look at that pile of dishes. What am I going to do?
Why don't you swallow it?
Junior, what makes you ask a question like that?
Well, I heard Papa tell that good-looking babysitter that you'd swallow anything.
Junior!
Now, you leave Junior alone.
I'd like to leave him alone. Alone on a desert island somewhere.
Oh, Jack Kirkwood, you're terrible. I hate you.
What are you talking about?
Stay in, lay out in the light.
Oh, boy. I got out of there just in time.
Hey, what's going on here?
Oh, my wife and I had a big fight, officer. I was lucky to get out of there. Lock me up, will you? Lock me up.
Right, eh? Sounded like a riot.
Oh, lock me up, will
you? Sure you didn't kill your wife?
I know I didn't. That's why I want to be locked up. Take me away.
So much for the Madhouse News.
And now here's George Wright to play San Francisco.
Thank you.
now, lovers of the finer things, will you join us at the Poet's Nook?
Greetings, friends.
Won't you come in for a kindly thought?
Ever since you went away, my dear, I miss your rippling thrill. Your merry voice I do not hear, and all is strangely still. I hear the rustle of a mouse, the creaking of a chair. I saunter through the empty house with silence everywhere. A stillness grips the vacant halls, the stillness of the tomb. All is quiet within these walls, and quiet is my room. Though you may clothe your soul in black and tears roll down your phiz, I humbly pray you'll not come back. It's too darn nice as it is.
And so we leave the Poet's Nook for today.
Now, for another thrilling episode in our exciting drama, the story of Sadie Black Girl Sandhog. Today, Rogers is hard at work building a little dream home for Sadie. He has just finished nailing a beam for the roof while Sadie stands watching from the ground. Oh, now he has decided to take a rest. So he crawled off the beam, and he said...
Gee, I gotta take a rest. I began to feel a little dizzy up there.
Well, let me have a look at the blueprints, Roger.
Blueprints? Oh, gosh, I left them out on the end of that beam.
Well, you've got to go out and get them, Roger.
I can't. I told you I felt dizzy.
Then I'm going out myself.
Oh, never mind. I'll do it.
Oh, be careful, Roger. Take it easy now. Careful. Oh, you're almost there.
Yeah, thank goodness. Oh.
What in the world is the matter?
My suspenders. They just snapped. And here I am hanging on this beam almost within reaching distance of the blueprints.
Oh, dear. And the blueprints are just about to blow away.
This is a fine time for my suspenders to bust.
Will Roger lose his plans? Tune in next week, folks. Wait on us. And that was George Wright whipping up chaser number two. His play, George's playing, reminds me of an old Chinese proverb. Organist better get better, or organist better get.
Here we go with a singing spot. We'll wow you with the gag. We've got their fencing stack for pride and view. It's the Kirkwood Show and his part two.
And now, here's George Wright to take us on a musical jaunt. He comes up with a little piece of chlorophyll called Kentucky.
Mutual, your network for news, presents ace commentators, reporters, and analysts with last-minute news information at all hours, day and evening, throughout the week. With events in far-off corners of the world having an impact on us here at home equal to that of domestic issues, it becomes more necessary than ever to listen to informed newsmen who speak from a background of experience. The world is getting smaller. Our neighbors are much closer to us than ever before. But at the same time, the lives of our neighbors affect us more directly than when distance was a natural barrier. To sort out, to clarify, to turn the spotlight on the really vital news stories of the moment is the job that Mutual's Corps of News Experts does for you. Commentary from varying viewpoints, thought-provoking and stimulating analysis, interpretation of current events by men who make it their business to get the facts and get them straight. Regardless of your choice, you can hear news as you like it on Mutual. And say, don't forget, you can take your choice of when you want to hear it, too. There are news reports in all forms at all hours of the day or evening throughout the week on Mutual over most of these same stations.
And that killed just about enough time to get us over to the Madhouse Little Theater.
Today, the Madhouse Comedy Drama, and we like to do road shows so we can read the white lines, players, bring you another exciting chapter in the adventures of the Frobisher Neep Expedition. As we look in on our little band of explorers today, we find them in a somewhat different predicament. Finding themselves unable to locate the missing scientist, J. Dangle Punkley, or even the lost city of Catorce, Barts to see Butts. Professor Kirkwood has decided to stay in the jungle and open a hotel. As we join them today, the professor, his manager, and his assistant, Dunn, as the house detective, are standing in the lobby of their hotel in, it's called the Rhino Arms. Deep in the jungles of Africa. Curtain, music. Say, Professor. Professor, whatever gave you the idea to open a hotel way out here in the jungle? You're 10,000 miles from nowhere.
Simple explanation. No competition. Hello, desk clerk.
Help. Save me. Oh, save me. I'm all alone with a lion in my room.
Well, don't worry about it. I won't tell your wife. You know, business ought to really pick up when people see that sign I put up last week.
What sign is that?
The sign I put up out on the highway.
What did it say? It
said, sleep off the highway.
But the highway is 1,000 miles from here.
Yeah, some parking lot we got, huh? Well, look outside the door. Here comes a sun helmet with a woman under it. How do you do, madam? Can I be of service?
Yes. I'd like a room with a view.
I see. Well, we have many different kinds of views, madam. Okay, we have a view of the jungle, a view of the river, a view of the mountains, and a view of an old cannibal cooking up a pot of missionary.
Ooh, that sounds terrible.
Don't knock it if you ain't tried it, lady.
I'll take the room with a view of the mountains. Incidentally, I'll have to pay you off in leopard skin.
You wear what you like. All we want is the money.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, I have a safari outside.
How'd you ever get a foreign car through that jungle?
You don't understand. A safari is a long string of natives.
Oh.
They carried my luggage through the jungle on their heads.
Well, every man to his own way of walking, I always say.
By the way, how's the big game hunting around here?
Oh, pretty good. Just yesterday, one of our guests shot a wino. A rifle. Is right with a dialect.
How exciting. What caliber bullet did he use? 30-30, 253,000, or 30-06?
Cork. will you excuse me just a minute? I think that's for me.
Oh, what do those drums mean?
Oh, it's just the cannibal tribe sending me a message.
What are they saying, Jack?
You want to borrow a cup of sugar? Mona, mona, luma tuma guma, mongo buli, roma tuma, roma numa. That's enough. That's another message just came in.
What do they want?
Nothing. Just give me the results of the third race of Santa Anita. Darn it, I lost. Hey, Steve, will you run over and pay off my bookie?
Sure, glad to.
Good boy. Yeah, take a couple of shrunken heads out of petty cash.
Would you mind if I go to my room now?
Not at all. It's room 301. Just walk right up those stairs.
Oh, thank you.
And be sure you don't use the hand railing on the left. Use only the hand railing on the right.
What's the difference?
The one on the left is a boa constrictor. Desk clerk.
I say hello. This is Lieutenant Quartermain of the Jungle Patrol.
Oh, yes.
I just wanted to warn you that a jungle stampede is in progress and headed your way.
Oh, that's so. Well, that's a stampede. Well, what'll I do?
Well, I don't know about you, old boy, but I'm going to have a cup of tea.
Oh, holy smoke. What a heck of a time to have a stampede. Just when I put in a new lawn, too.
Hey, Professor.
Professor, did you hear the news?
A stampede is coming this way.
Oh, I know, I know.
But what do we do?
I guess we better try to outrun them, huh?
Outrun a jungle stampede? That's impossible.
Oh, not if you're wearing sneakers, it ain't.
You know, I think the best thing to do is to dig a hole in the ground.
And bury this script.
And and let them run over it.
We can't dig a hole in the ground.
Why not?
The gophers are stampeding, too.
Oh, come on, think of something, Professor. Here they come.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Thank goodness they missed us.
Will our brave explorers ever get out of the jungle? Will they ever find the missing scientists? Will we ever find a way to finish this series? If you have any ideas, keep them to yourself. We don't want them. What do you know about writing anyhow? So long, folks. So we close the doors on the Madhouse Little Theater. Have you ever had the yen to travel someday to see the strange and different places of the world like Hawaii, Siam, India, Egypt, or any one of a thousand others? Well, you can if you start preparing right now. And a good way to put aside the necessary funds is by investing in defense bonds. There are two plans that have been set up to make your saving automatic. They're the payroll savings plan and the bond a month plan. With the payroll savings plan, you ask your employer to put to one side a specified amount out of each paycheck. Now, this money he then puts into bonds for you. The bond a month plan is when you ask your bank to issue bonds to you each month and take the money out of your checking account. Both of these plans make the buying of bonds easy and automatic. If, however, you're unable to participate in them, why don't you practice extra bond buying on your own? Just purchase as many defense bonds as you can at any post office or bank. These bonds are backed by the United States government and are guaranteed against loss, destruction, or theft. They're even better than a cash reserve. So start preparing for that trip today or any other long-range plan you may have. Now, even better, invest in defense bonds.
I say, do you mind if I rip my trousers before I get on the bus? I feel like going somewhere on a tear.
No, but I say, why did you ask me to take Sloppy Sue's sister to the dance last night?
What do you mean, Messy Mary? Well, I thought you loved to trip the light fantastic.
Well, I do, but the girl simply cannot dance.
Can't what, old fruit jar?
Messy cannot dance. Bessie cannot dance.
Oh, the Michigan hat dance. Yes, I'd love to. Well, it looked like we finished another one and slid it off the assembly line. We'll be around your way again soon with another bag of tools.
Parts recorded with the same workers, Aline Lee, George White, Lee Albert, Zed, Sam, and Sound Manor producer, J.C. Lewis. So join us, won't you?
Foolish, but thanks for working along with us today, neighbor. Thanks for all those fine cards and letters and all that kind of stuff like that there. They're sure swell, so keep them coming. And in the meantime, drive carefully and take mighty good care of yourselves now. Yeah, hear me?
Till next time, it's Steve Dunn.
And Jack Kirkwood asks you to wait for that call.
Hey, you!
Ah, really, Steve?
Kirkwood Show is transcribed in Hollywood. This is the world's largest network, the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The Jack Kirkwood Show on Tuned 2 yesterday from the 4th of May 1953 on the Mutual Broadcasting System. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of comedy on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.